D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will join us in a bit. We are back at Bridgestone Arena. It's been a minute since we've done a show live from Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are back in action tonight against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. It's 90s night here at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Derek, it's NFL Combine season.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, our Combine coverage is brought to you by the New Cumberland, Nashville's resort-style community overlooking downtown on the Cumberland River. So thank you to them for sponsoring our Combine coverage. But Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan spoke today.
Mm-hmm.
It won't shock you to know that they really didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there were some interesting tidbits that came out of it. Here was my favorite thing I saw this morning, okay. Derek. A tweet from Adam Schefter. Let's see if I can find it. Quote, Titans GM Mike Borgonzi told reporters that he has received calls about the availability of the number one overall pick. The Titans will listen, but it's too early in the process for any decisions. I have a two-word response to that, Derek Mason.
Yes.
Well, duh.
But I'm more inclined to believe ain't nobody called him yet. Ain't nobody called him yet. I don't think anybody called him yet.
It is lying season,
yeah,
after all.
Will there be people that eventually start to call? I think yes, after the combine, once you get the height, weight measurements and you start interviewing individuals, I think then you will start to see maybe some more stories coming out or reports coming out that such and such, you know, team called the Titans, or the Titans have talked to several GMs about the potential of, you know, moving out of the first slot. Right now, I wouldn't call nobody right now at this point, because I don't know enough. I wouldn't know enough to say, okay, I want to move up Xbox to get this guy, because they hadn't even done the interviews or anything else yet. So, and again, they hadn't got the height, weight measurements, hand size, all that other crazy stuff.
Yes, well, that's
Lion season.
That's all very important. So here were some of the highlights from Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi this morning. And we do have clips, and we will play those for you throughout the program. The most interesting thing, Derek, that Brian Callahan said, he was asked about Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the discussion, of course, about Travis Hunter is, well, which position will he play at the NFL level? Will he primarily play corner? Will he play wide receiver? Will he play a mixture of both? And Brian Callahan said this on Travis Hunter, quote, he probably starts at corner, and then you find ways to inject him into the offense as he gets more comfortable. So Brian Callahan sees Travis Hunter starting his NFL career, if it were up to him, mm-hmm. meaning if the Titans were to draft Travis Hunter, Brian Callahan sees Travis Hunter starting at corner and then finding ways to inject him into the offense as he gets more comfortable.
That's because I think he's a natural corner. I think once you watch his game, he won the Heisman because he was the best athlete. He was the best player. He didn't win it because he was the best wide receiver or the best defensive back. He won it, which it should go to, the best college football player, regardless of a position. And that's why he won the Heisman. But I think what comes along with that is people thinking that, since he did it in college, he can do it in the NFL. No, let's decide what position he plays first, and then let's move on from that. What is starting to come out, because Callahan is not the first guy that has said they see him at being drafted as a corner, coming into league as a corner. That's what's filtering out through the NFL within the last 2 weeks, is that they see Travis Hunter more of a corner than a wide receiver. Could he potentially get some plays at wide receiver? Yes, they can do that. The kid, he's a hell of an athlete. But no one's going to draft him strictly as a wide receiver. Why? One, they're not going to draft a wide receiver that high unless you have sort of like Calvin Johnson type of attributes mixed with Jamar Chase and Jefferson. Then I draft you number one, but that's not Travis Hunter. So the way the league is looking at it now, I believe, they're looking at him as a corner. And just like, you know, Champ Bailey did, parts of his career, just like Charles Woodson did parts of his career, and obviously Deion Sanders did parts of, and also Rod Woodson did it too as well, the Hall of Famer out of Wisconsin. He's going to be allowed to have possibly 10 to 12 plays a game if that works out.
We have a clip of Brian Callahan discussing Travis Hunter. This was Brian Callahan earlier this morning on Travis Hunter.
Oh, very realistic. Yeah. Yeah, it's very realistic. I think he's a unique player, that there's not a whole lot of other players you could compare what he's done. There's not many guys that have played that many snaps on both sides of the ball. And you watch his tape and you see his ability to play both at a very high level. So, yeah, I think anybody that you talk to about him is going to say the same thing, that he's got the ability to play both. And that I think you're going to find out where he fits if you were to get him. But he's got a really unique ability to do a lot of different things.
That was Brian Callahan discussing Travis Hunter. So to me, that was the most interesting thing that Brian Callahan said during his formal news conference. After he spoke in that setting, he went off to the side and spoke to Titans reporters. He said some other interesting things there. But in terms of what he said at his formal news conference, I thought that was the most interesting tidbit. He also did not tip his hand on Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, spoke highly of both quarterbacks, but did not, you know, offer an opinion on which one he prefers. So Mike Borgonzi, new Titans GM, took the podium after Callahan. As I said, they've had some calls on the number one pick. Again, no duh, that tends to happen. This is what I thought was interesting, Derek. On signing a free agent quarterback, he said that that does not mean he won't draft a quarterback. He said, I don't think those will go hand in hand. That was his quote on, if he signs a free agent quarterback, does that mean he's out on drafting a quarterback? He said, no, he doesn't think those things will go hand in hand. And again, he was incredibly guarded in this situation. He did not tip his hand one way or another. But I did think that was interesting that he said that if the Titans go out and sign a veteran bridge quarterback, we should not take that to mean that he won't consider drafting a quarterback as well. He mentioned in the places that he's been, it's important, and I think it's important in pretty much every NFL market, Derek, that there's a veteran quarterback mentoring the young quarterback almost like an extra coach. But he said that signing a free agent quarterback does not mean he won't draft a quarterback.
See, you have to pay attention to him very closely.
Yes.
He said that doesn't mean he's not going to draft a quarterback. He could draft a quarterback in the fourth round. He could draft a quarterback in the fifth.
That is true.
You know, he's not completely just because, and then it depends on the guy, because it seems like if I was leaning one way or the other, I would lean more so toward them getting a veteran quarterback and then drafting a receiver. But another quarterback. But if he's doing that, I don't think he's looking for a Sam Darnold type of quarterback. Because a Sam Darnold type of quarterback is going to want you to commit to him 3, possibly 4 seasons with a high price tag. So if I'm still thinking about drafting a quarterback in the first round and possibly the second, then I don't need a long-term fix at the position. I need someone that can come in, learn the offense, run the offense efficiently while the young guy gets caught up on the way of life in the NFL. And typically, that's how teams won. That's in a perfect world. So free agency will tell me a lot about what they're going to do, or at least tip their hand a little bit about what they're going to do in regards to the quarterback position. Not all positions, but the quarterback position. Because if you're going after Sam Darnold, this isn't a 2 to 3 year thing. He's 27, 28?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. So it would be, you would have to commit to him more than 3 seasons. Anybody that gets him, honestly. So I think they go get a guy that can play 2 years for them, go draft a guy, whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, that is yet to be known. But we know a lot once free agency start, when you're talking about what they're going to do to sort of solve, not sort of, but to solve the quarterback dilemma they've been in for the last couple of years.
You mentioned free agency. The two adjectives that Mike Borgonza used to describe the Titans' approach to free agency were selective and disciplined. He said, quote, "We're going to have targeted players that we want, and if that player doesn't come to us, we're not just going to jump to the next player." Again, it sounds great, and you have to take everything that's said in these settings with the requisite grain of salt. But he said, when it comes to free agency, we're going to have targeted players that we want, and if that player doesn't come to us, we're not just going to jump to the next player. The Titans spent a boatload of money in free agency this time last year. I would say the results were mixed at best. Calvin Ridley, Chido Bey Awuzie, Lloyd Cushenberry. You know, I'm always tempted to include L'Jarius Sneed in there, although he wasn't a free agent. And by the way,
say acquisition.
Yes, acquisition.
A new acquisition to the team. Yes.
Also, one of the other notes about L'Jarius Sneed, according to Brian Callahan, off to the side, his rehab is on track. So we'll see what that means for L'Jarius Sneed, who was missing in action for much of the season. But Mike Borgonza says he's going to be selective and disciplined in free agency, which I guess sounds a lot better than, well, I'm just going to spend the owner's money because it's there and I can.
But, I mean, again, these are not things we haven't heard before.
No, we've heard that. We've heard it every year.
Every year. And that's what every team wants to be. You know, we're going to be selective. We're going to be disciplined. Well, if you can't get the guy that you set out to get, the first guy, you're always going to move on to the next guy. What, are you going to stay there and try to get that guy to move off of a contract that he's agreeing to with another team? That's the part that I wonder. Like, are y'all just throwing out words, you know, catchphrases to make it seem like y'all know what y'all are doing? I believe that they know what they're doing. But when they say we're going to be selective, disciplined, isn't that every team going into free agency just about? You earmark guys that you want. You try to go out and get them to agree to a contract and how they fit. You bring them in. You talk to them. See how they fit within your system and in your building. And then you offer a contract. If it doesn't work, don't you move on to the next guy? You're disciplined. But you move on to the next guy. The discipline comes not sitting in one place for too long. That's where the discipline comes. Okay, he's not going to come. All right, let's move to the next one, but let's do it in a manner where we all are in agreement. Being disciplined means being in agreement with what y'all decided to do. We all decided to move on from this guy. Let's move on from him, and let's go to the next guy. Let's not harp on what we didn't get.
He was asked, Mike Borgonza, that is, was asked about the G word.
We can't say
it. Well, I think we can say it when we're describing something else. We can't say it as we're doing our analysis.
Oh, okay.
That's a little loophole.
If someone else says it, right, we can then repeat what they say it.
Right.
Okay.
Generational. Mike Borgonza, excuse me, Chad Brinker had, you know, talked about that the Titans are not going to pass up on a generational talent in that quote, which, by the way, was only heard by a select few people because he said that in the what I like to call the pseudo news conference he had before the official Mike Borgonza news conference. So there was no recording of him saying that. But the transcription of that quote spread like wildfire around the NFL. And in every mock draft I read, it's like, well, Chad Brinker said they're not going to pass on a generational talent. Again, no duh. But Mike Borgonza was asked about the generational talent, and it sounded like to me, and maybe David can find this clip, if not immediately we can play it coming up in the next segment, about how he's not, you know, he sounded like a guy who's not willing to trade down significantly. He sounds like a guy who might want to trade down no further than maybe three. It doesn't sound like he is open to, or at least at this moment, open to trading down into, you know, later in the top 10. That's the vibe I got, was that if he does trade the pick, I'm not sure he's going to go down significantly in the draft order in order to do so.
See, listen, what you don't want to do is move down so far where you can't get an impact player.
Which is basically what he said.
Exactly. I'm not the whole – the G player. I mean, I don't know if there's – Travis Hunter may be close. He and Abdul Carter may be the closest to that sort of phrase than anybody else within this draft. But I still don't believe they are those guys. But you don't want to move out of a space where you can't draft an impact player. Travis Hunter can be, and he's going to be an impact player, I believe. Abdul Carter's going to be an impact player, I believe. The running back out of Boise State, I think he's going to be an impact player. Ashton Jeanty. There are a few receivers in this year's draft that I think have potential to be impact players. You just don't want to put yourself out of the range of getting an impact player. You don't want to cut off your nose and spite your face, or spite your face and cut off your nose, whichever one comes first. So spite your nose, cut off your nose, spite your face. You don't want to move out of the top spot and then move so far back where you're not getting a guy that can come in immediately and get the job done. That's what you don't want to do. So when you said third, yes, but I can't see them going no further than the fifth pick.
So I got to think of the draft order off the top of my head. The Browns are at 2. The Giants are at 3. The Patriots are at 4. And the Jags are at 5.
I could see them moving with the Patriots.
Okay.
Possibly the Jags, because the Jags don't need – the Jags probably can use a Travis Hunter.
But do you want to help your division rival?
Yeah, but what are they giving up?
True.
Because – you almost can't think about it like that. It's I'm giving them an opportunity to draft – possibly Travis Hunter, but what am I getting in return? Because I believe the two players that I'm going to get is going to be better than your one player over the long haul. I'm going to get more production out of those two guys.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on what we've heard so far today from Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan. We'll continue that conversation. But coming up next, some big news out of the NFL Combine broke yesterday. We will discuss that coming up next. But before we do, hey, Predators fans, don't miss Smashville Live tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Predators star players up close and personal, and you can also get autographs and pictures. The Preds player guest this week will be none other than Ryan O'Reilly. That's right. Ryan O'Reilly will be at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue for Smashville Live. Nashville's best deal this week is from Barrio Burrito Bar in Murfreesboro. Try a bowl or burrito with their new and improved steak for the best steak, burrito, and bowl in town. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now and get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Panthers tonight at 7 o'clock. Derek, news broke yesterday, I believe it was, that Abdul Carter will not work out at the NFL scouting combine this week because of a shoulder injury he suffered near the end of Penn State's football season. Carter's agents, according to ESPN, told Adam Schefter that Carter suffered the injury in Penn State's win against Boise State in the college football playoff quarterfinals in December. The quote from Drew Rosenhaus, "We fully expect Abdul to be recovered in time to work out at his pro day at Penn State, and he will perform at a very high level. I think this is key. Carter, according to ESPN, will undergo the medical exams at the combine and participate in interviews with teams." Rosenhaus also forwarded a letter from Dr. Dan Cooper, the Dallas Cowboys team physician who has treated Carter, to NFL teams to say Carter had just been medically cleared to resume training. Abdul Carter is moving up a lot of mock drafts, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
In Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft that dropped this morning, he has the Tennessee Titans selecting Abdul Carter from Penn State with the number one pick in the NFL draft. But then I see the story about how he's dealing with a shoulder injury. And if you're a Titans fan, you're probably getting the heebie-jeebies. You're going, ooh, injured player, injured player, red alert, red alert. Because we know the Titans have a checkered past with going after injured players, whether it be in the draft or trade or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing what we know of Abdul Carter, does the fact he is dealing with a shoulder injury, which we knew, I remember that was a big storyline in Penn State's game. It's the Penn State's final game. I think it was against Notre Dame, correct?
Yep.
In the college football playoff. He was playing with basically one arm, is what the announcers kept saying. And he had a solid game, if my memory serves. But when you hear that Abdul Carter has a shoulder injury that he's dealing with, it's not so much that he's not participating at the NFL Combine. That doesn't bother me as much. But does it give you any pause whatsoever, knowing what we know about the Titans and their history with injured players, that Abdul Carter, who many believe could be the number one overall pick, is dealing with an injured shoulder?
No, it doesn't bother me the least bit. He played with it. He played through it. Yes, you want to know if there's an injury out there because you don't want to be caught off guard, even if it's something that's going to cause for him to have some rest, during camp or something. You still want to know what I'm getting, what's going on with the individual player. But it doesn't alarm me whatsoever because even with the injured arm, he was able to go out there and pretty much dominate the game from his position. They didn't ultimately win, but he dominated from his position. So, but yes, you still have to look into it. And I'm sure just because, his agent put out, the letter from the doctor saying he's okay, doesn't mean that other GMs and other owners are not going to bring their doctors in and go over and evaluate him and see how the arm's doing. So even though his people sent out their letter, the NFL and GMs are going to come back and they're going to do their due diligence and make sure that the arm is not an issue or the shoulder's not an issue. But listen, you're going to have this throughout the year prior to the NFL draft. Guys are going to, old injuries are going to pop up on guys as red flags. We've seen it year in and year out where, a guy may have played the whole season. Prime example, Spears, he had a knee injury. It didn't hamper him not one bit in college that last year, but still, NFL GMs wanted to know about it. They wanted to make sure that, if we draft this young man, will he be able to go out there week in and week out? Will the knee be trouble? So this is not the first time this happened, and this will not be the last. But I don't think, unless something comes up from an individual, I don't think that they will find anything that will deter teams from drafting him.
So I know that the combine is much different now than it was, I hate saying this, back in your day. But I heard Jared talk about this yesterday when he was talking about Abdul Carter. And he was talking about Floyd and the medical examinations that happen at the combine, how thorough they are, and how the doctors that are available to teams at the combine are the best they can be. And I think Jared even told stories of Floyd saying that, these doctors would sometimes find things that these athletes didn't even know they had going on with them. So from your experience, again, I know it's a different time, but the medical evaluation portion of the combine, walk us through that, what that was like for you.
Oh, wow.
By the way, do you know what your 40-yard dash time was at the NFL Combine?
4.5.
4.55, according to Wikipedia.
Yes.
That rounds up to 4.6, but
exactly.
We'll go with 4.5.
We'll go with the 4.5.
Yes.
I dealt with the last year. I broke my wrist first game of the season versus Purdue. I think it was versus Purdue at home on a punt. And the guy hit me, even though I called for a fair catch, the guy still ran through me and ended up breaking my wrist, which I had a cast on my wrist for the next 3 weeks after that, but I still played. I dealt with rib injuries, an ankle injury my last year. So when I went into the combine, those are the things that they wanted to know about, because beyond that, I had a minor scope on my knee, but I came back and I played, you know, I was playing with it, and that happened in my sophomore year. But those are things that the medical, you know, staff from NFL teams wanted to still know. They pulled on your knee. They sent you from one doctor to the next, depending on your injury history in college. Again, I didn't have many, but the ones that I had really all happened my senior year. The broken wrist, the rib injuries, injury, and then the high ankle sprain. So those were things that NFL teams wanted to know, would it affect me moving forward? And, you know, again, I went to see doctors there in Indianapolis. They did medicals, came back, took more tests, but obviously there was nothing that they saw that they believed would hamper or would sort of move them away from drafting me, even though, you know, I still ended up getting drafted in the fourth round. But I don't think my medical history was a deterrent.
I could understand Titans fans who saw this news and have trepidation about drafting Abdul Carter with the number one overall pick. You mentioned Tajay Spears, and you're right about that. But Tajay Spears, what round was he?
He was third.
Third round, so not a premium selection for Tajay Spears versus using the number one overall pick on a injured player. But, you know, as Mel Kiper writes here, in explaining why he has Abdul Carter going number one overall to the Tennessee Titans, the Titans would love having Carter, who isn't working out this week at the combine on this defense. He creates so much pressure off the edge with the burst and instincts to get home for sacks. He had 12 of them in 2024, along with a nation-leading 23.5 tackles for loss for a Tennessee team that was 25th in pressure this past season. Sliding him next to Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat makes a lot of sense. And the more I hear about Abdul Carter, Derek, and the impact that a pass rush can have on a team, we talked to Teron Davenport yesterday. He talked about what the Eagles did to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl as the most recent example of what a dominant pass rush can do for a team, how it can change the fortunes of a team. The more I'm being talked into more Abdul Carter. And now look, they may end up trading the pick, and I don't know if they trade the pick if they'll have the opportunity to draft Abdul Carter. I keep looking at the Browns with the Myles Garrett situation. He wants out. Although the Browns don't have to trade Myles Garrett.
No.
Usually when a player asks for a trade, they get one because you don't want the distraction in your organization. So the Browns are a prime landing spot for Abdul Carter. So I don't think he gets past the Browns. So my gut, and look, there are people who are a lot smarter than me when it comes to this stuff. My gut is if you want Abdul Carter, you're going to have to stay at number one. But the more I look into it, the impact that the Eagles pass rush had on the Super Bowl, I'm being talked into it more and more.
Yeah, listen, the defensive line, I saw this happen, in real time. In 1999, well, the 1999-2000 season, this is when Peyton Manning was tearing up the league, where they were just starting to tear up the league, and they had this high-powered offense. And, you know, we had some good players, really good players. Obviously, we were being led by Eddie and Steve, in my mind, great players. But we had some dogs on the defensive side, but we needed one guy. We needed one guy that can get to Peyton Manning. So they went out and drafted Javon Kurse. And that completely changed our defense and how effective they were week in and week out, down in and down out. Why? Because now I can get to the pass rusher. I mean, I can get to the passer. Now I limit the seconds that he can sit back there and hold on to the football. I forced them to speed their offense up. Why? Because if you don't, I'm going to get to the quarterback. I forced you now to use double team, the scheme for me. Other than the quarterback, I think a defensive end, you get you a stud defensive end like many believe Abdul Carter will be. He can single-handedly change your franchise if you have the right pieces in place. The Titans don't have all the pieces in place, but if they add a guy like Abdul Carter, I think they're setting themselves up for a decade of damn good play at that position. I'm talking about reminiscent of Javon Kearse, a guy that Javon only played there, I think, 5 years, and then he went and left for Philly, 6 years maybe, and went and left for Philly for a bigger contract. I think you can have that type of play, but for a longer period of time.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Abdul Carter, the fact that a shoulder injury is preventing him from participating in the NFL Combine. The reports are that he will have his own pro day late in March. Let us know what you think about that. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we do have to talk about one thing that is making the news in the NFL circles. We will do that next, but before we do, tune in later today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores host Tennessee Tech. Pregame begins at 4:15 and first pitch is at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.
Yeah, Hannah, it's not a huge surprise that Shedeur Sanders has opted to not throw at the Combine because we just saw him 1 month ago show up to the East-West Shrine Game and not participate there as well after saying he would be. So this is kind of the method that they're going with this offseason for Shedeur Sanders. And as you mentioned, it has become par for the course for top quarterbacks to not throw the combine. However, the point that I would make is Shedeur Sanders is not the top quarterback in this year's draft. That's Miami's Cam Ward. And the fact is, this quarterback group is very unsettled. We don't have a number one quarterback like we did last year with Caleb Williams, even maybe the year before with Bryce Young, where he felt like the number one guy throughout the entire process. This is a wide open race for the number one quarterback spot in the 2025 NFL draft. And this is a second opportunity now with the East-West Shrine Game where Shedeur Sanders has said, I'm good. I'm going to wait till the next event. So all pressure now is on that Colorado Pro Day. Personally, I'm not a fan of this. I think you take every opportunity given to you to prove that you're the guy. We heard in the soundbite him saying, I'm going to be the guy. Go show that you are. CJ Stroud threw at the combine. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. We saw three guys who were first round picks last year throw at the combine and it improved their stock. So if Shedeur Sanders' camp would have asked me a week ago, I would have said, this is an opportunity to prove he's better than Cam Ward, to prove he's better than Jackson Dart, to prove he's better than whoever the hot quarterback of the moment is. Maybe it's Tyler Shuck, maybe it's Quinn Ewers from Texas. But this was an opportunity that I think Shedeur and his camp are really missing out on, where he could show that he is that number one quarterback in this class.
That was ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller discussing Shedeur Sanders' decision not to throw at the NFL Combine. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick is here with a big old box. What's in there, Willie? What's in the box?
It's gold.
What's
it's
in the
a
box?
Gold
well,
box.
I actually stole something from the old set of Let's Make a Deal, where you can either take what's behind door number two or take what's in the box.
Well,
but it is it's actually something that we're pretty excited about. Our Predators broadcast team, we won an Emmy for the best sports broadcast in Tennessee. So we're flaunting. We got some hardware today. We actually got the trophies today. So I commend our entire crew. But when you get recognized like that, it feels pretty good. So
we've got
Skillsy, Mace,
so
Lindsay, Kara, Bob Cole.
So did they all get one? Everybody got the individual
everybody gets one. Yeah,
oh,
it's our
cool.
It's our
that's
team.
Cool.
Yeah, is. Who was recognized there. Yeah.
So we have an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, a Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer, and me.
You're going to get you. We're gonna get you one. We're getting you
all
one,
right.
Adam. We're getting you one.
We've got to find some sort of award. Maybe I can win like a bowling trophy or something.
It'll come.
It'll come.
But it was actually for our broadcast last
award?
Year.
Yes.
And this is the sad times. The times have changed a little bit. But it was when you might remember the game. The Predators were, at the time, 15-0-2. Mm-hmm. They fell behind Vegas.
Yes.
They were down 3-0 and 4-1. They came back and won. Roman Josi had the game-winning goal in overtime. So I'd like to thank the Predators as well, because that the more exciting the game, the better the broadcast tends to be. But that was the game we submitted and got nominated for. And so we got the victory for that.
We are very proud of you, and you can listen to you can watch the Emmy Award-winning broadcast tonight when the Predators take on the Panthers. So Shedeur Sanders, as I mentioned, not participating at the NFL Combine, unlike Abdul Carter, who is nursing a shoulder injury. Shedeur Sanders is just making the decision not to work out at the combine. He'll have his own pro day, a more controlled environment for Shedeur Sanders. And because Shedeur Sanders is, to put it mildly, a polarizing figure in general, there have been a wide range of takes about this decision. And as Matt Miller mentioned in the clip, here are some of the quarterbacks who have thrown at the NFL Combine in recent years. Last year, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix all threw at the NFL Combine. In 2023, C.J. Stroud threw at the NFL Combine. Josh Allen in 2018 threw at the NFL Combine. Patrick Mahomes in 2017 threw at the NFL Combine. Now, conversely, the top three quarterbacks taken last year did not throw at the Combine. Caleb Williams did not throw at the Combine. Jaden Daniels didn't throw at the Combine. And Drake May did not throw at the Combine. The difference between those three quarterbacks and Shedeur Sanders, however, is Shedeur Sanders would fall underneath those three quarterbacks in terms of their projected NFL careers, I guess I would say, in terms of the scouting and all of that. So, big deal, little deal, no deal. Shedeur Sanders not throwing at the NFL Combine.
Can I ask you a question, D. Mays, first? Yeah. Why?
Sorry.
No, but this is related.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a text saying that I should win the third wheel award. That is. I've been there, not just on this show.
For a quarterback, why would you not throw? Like, it's not going to hurt your arm, right? Mm-hmm. So why did the trend start of not throwing at the combine? What's the advantage? Like, what do you, if you're good and you can throw it, where would you be hurt by not throwing at the combine?
Because I think because it comes so, it's so on the heels of the season ending. And I know some seasons end before the, you know, other teams because of bowl games and whatnot. But I think a lot of guys like to have a certain amount of preparation headed into the combine. That's why you don't see guys running as much, like the top guys really running as much, because they choose to, unless they've been working out and they know, like, listen, I know I'm going to run a 4.2 or 4.3. 4.3 at worst. So I'm a run, just to run, just to show everybody. And now it's become a badge of honor to break the record of the fastest 40 times. So those guys that have been routinely running 4.2s, 4.3, they're going to go and run. Why? Because they want to break the last fastest guy time. But for a quarterback, listen, I can only tell you, and this is why sometimes I believe top wide receivers don't, because you and a quarterback have no rapport at all.
Okay.
So this thing could look really ugly or it can look really good. And if it looks ugly, nobody's saying, well, you know what? They just started doing this together. They've been there, you know, they've been throwing to each other all of really 10 minutes. But nobody's going to say that. What they're going to say is he didn't throw well. His stock is going down. He didn't catch the ball well, or he didn't get in and out of his route, so his stock is going down. So there's a double-edged sword to this. Yes, I am not saying that you shouldn't participate in the combine. But I'm just giving you the flip side of it, too. Like, guys feel that, you know, I may not have my best day at the combine. And that will truly hurt you. I would rather sit back and then work out in my pro day than just going to combine as we sit now. Going to combine. If I'm a projected a first-round pick, I'm not trying to do anything to damage that at the combine. I come in to do the physicals. I come in and talk to the GMs. I may run some routes or do some drills, but I'm not running a 40-yard dash unless I've been routinely running 4.2, 4.3s. Other than that, I am not doing anything to diminish. Because just because Mike Miller says it's bad for the Shedeur Sanders doesn't mean that Mike Borgonzi thinks it's bad for Shedeur Sanders. Doesn't mean that that GM thinks it's bad for Shedeur Sanders. Sometimes they look at it like, okay, as long as he throws, eventually, as long as I see him throw, has he been dealing with injury? No, he hasn't been dealing with injury. So I don't need to know if he can throw the football because, well, he finished the season on the injured list and his shoulder was hurting. Let's see how he looks. That's not a concern of mine right now. I know he can throw the football. I want to see him throw, yes, but I'm not making a big deal about him throwing at the combine. Joe Burrow didn't throw at the combine. And I know Joe Burrow was the number one pick. Kyler Murray didn't throw at the combine. Matt Stafford didn't throw at the combine. There were all of these quarterbacks that haven't thrown at the combine.
But I think the issue with – I think the issue that people are taking with Shador Sanders not throwing at the combine is that Shador Sanders, as Matt Miller said in that clip, and Matt Miller's not the only NFL draft analyst, but I would say consensus that Cam Ward is the top quarterback in this draft. The other players we mentioned were not expected. I think that's the thing. When I look at it compared to last year, as I mentioned, Caleb Williams didn't throw. Why am I blanking here? Jaden Daniels didn't throw, and Drake May didn't throw. But those three were expected to go right at the top of the draft, which is what they did. They went 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. The consensus, it seems, on Shador Sanders is much bigger, I would say, like much wider. Like, I know that he's one of the top two quarterbacks, but when you look at where he lands on big boards and things like that, he's not right at the top. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there are people who believe that Shador Sanders, despite the fact that he's one of the top two quarterbacks in this draft, it's a down year for quarterbacks, and that they think he has more to prove than maybe Jaden Daniels did Caleb Williams did.
He has more to lose. I'm going to make this clear. He has more to lose than to gain.
By throwing at the combine?
By throwing at the combine. He has more to lose. And Mike Miller knows this better than anybody. He's been in the NFL combine. He has more to lose. He's already projected a first-round guy. He goes to the combine after everybody's screaming, yeah, he needs to go to the combine and throw. He goes to the combine and throw, and he doesn't have a good day. I don't care what he does at that pro day. People are still going to point at the combine. They're still going to point. I can't get in trouble for something I don't do. I can't get demoted for something I don't do. You know, you can say all you want to about how you're hurting yourself, this and that and that and this. No, if I don't go, I'm not hurting. If you are a GM, both of y'all are GMs. If y'all are thinking one way toward me before I go into y'all think, okay, he has a good arm, doesn't have a strong arm. I've seen it enough on film. He's not going to all of a sudden not go to the combine and have this strong arm. I know he moves around well. I see it on film. What more is going to help me? How much more is it going to benefit you that you go there? Other than to do the interviews and do the medical and stuff like that, how much more can it help you in a draft?
Right. That's the
that doesn't have many quarterbacks anyway. I could see if it was last year's draft, then yeah, going because now you got three or four people ahead of you. So I want to go improve. This year, my tape prove it. I'm going to throw in my pro day. That should be enough. I shouldn't have to come here other than to do the interviews, take the medical. I don't have to throw. I don't have to do the cone drills. I mean, again, if he goes, he goes, and he throws, he throws. If he doesn't, I'm not making a big – at least I'm not. And I'm sure there are at least half of the GMs out there that think, okay, he's not throwing, all right, whatever. Because they felt it was going to be par for the course anyway. He wasn't going to throw.
615-737-1025. Where do you stand on Shador Sanders' decision not to participate at the NFL Combine? 615-737-1025. And we just want to thank the new Cumberland Nashville's resort-style community overlooking downtown on the Cumberland River for our NFL Combine updates all this week on 1025-1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game.